Shlomo HaMelech says, Tov, better is the day of death than the day of birth. That's a strange statement by any means. We always associate death with bitterness, crying, depression, and birth we associate with smiles, parties, spreading the cigars out, whatever it might be. It's a happy occasion. So what in the world does King Solomon mean that better is the day of death than the day of birth? So the rabbis explain with a parable. There were two philosophers on a seashore, and they were observing. There was one ship about to leave. Everyone was happy, partying, having the tailgate party, the ribs, the wings, the food, everything, all the entertainment. Everyone was having a great time. So one philosopher said to the other, you know what, how foolish people are. They're celebrating the wrong ship. This ship hasn't even left. Who knows tomorrow with pirates or accidents, the ship might crash tomorrow. Look at this other ship coming in. After 70 years, 80 years, 90 years, this is the ship we should be celebrating. When a person is born, they're a bundle of potential. But you don't know one's true greatness until after they pass on. And even then, you don't even know the true greatness. A lot of times it takes many years. As we say in our davening on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, the Sifrei Chaim and the Sifrei Mesim, the books of the living and the books of the dead are opened up. I understand the books of the living, they just live, so we have to go over the year. But the books of the dead, what could you do when you're dead? So what does that mean, you go over the books of the dead? So the Mefarshim explain is, let's say on a positive note, let's say whether it's Rav Soloveitchik's and all his students and the rabbis that came out of Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Aaron Kohler, all the Lakewoods, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, all the Chabads around the world, not only are they getting rewarded for what they did during their lifetime, but now years later, all what their kids have done, the students of students, the reward is endless because it's still going on. The reward, you still deserve reward because of you. You set up this person who set up this person. And that's why they point out as well, that's why I think it says by Moshe Rabbeinu, it doesn't talk about the great act that was done until later on, because at the time when they took Moshe out of the Nile River, he was just a baby who knew what was going to happen. But now, after the death, we realize how great Moshe Rabbeinu is. So the scar is even greater. Without Moshe Rabbeinu, who knows what the Jewish people will live with. So therefore, one's true greatness is after the death, and sometimes you have to wait many years after that to see the full greatness, because the impact is still going. And in fact, we know there's a custom to put up a monument. Rabbi Kiva Eger quotes the old minug to wait a year, wait the Yud Beis Chodesh. As the Gemara tells us, Ein ames dishkachas min alev ela Yud Beis Chodesh, that we don't forget our loved ones until 12 months. Of course, you always remember them, but in terms of immediate memory. So right after you're beginning to forget, so Rabbi Kiva Eger quotes the minug of putting up the monument. Today, many people do it before. I think Chabad might do it after Shiva. Others do it after Shloshim. But nevertheless, what was the reason for it? It was to remember your loved ones. And in fact, we've been asked many times, you go to a Jewish cemetery and you see stones on top. What are the stones all about? Why do we have stones on top of the cemetery, on top of the monument? So there are different reasons. Some, historically speaking, back in the day before we had cat and deer and all these big trucks and machines, we didn't have these big stones. All you did was take some rocks and try to, and usually we didn't have a cemetery, so you have to bury people that are in the field. You want to keep the wild animals away. So every time you went back, you threw some more, you covered more stones over the grave so the animals stay away. But today we have the big stones. So why do we have the stones on top? So a couple of reasons. One being, we know the Hebrew word for rock is sor. As well, sor is also the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the name of God. So to speak, we can't be at the cemetery 24/7. But our loved one is always together with someone else. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always watching them. That's what the rock is symbolic of. And others point out more than that. The purpose of the rock is permanent. You want to show, even though the life is temporary, but the legacy is permanent, as we pointed out. Sifrei Chayim and Sifrei Mesim, the books of the living, and the books of the dead are opened up. So therefore, that person always continues to live on. And in fact, we know there's a minig on Yom Tov four times a year, Yom Kippur and the Shalosh Regalim, we say Yizkor. And people have a difficulty with Yizkor. Number one, historically, how it started out, I think on Yom Kippur, and then with the Crusades, it was extended, so we do it the Shalosh Regalim. So some people have a difficulty with the concept of Yizkor on a Yom Tov, because Yom Tov is Man Simchaseinu, and Yizkor sounds at first glance like a form of Avelis. And we know, the Gemara tells us in Moed Katan, Yudalad Amud Beis, that the mitzvah derabim, the public mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov, overrides the private mitzvah of Avelis. We know there is no Avelis on Yom Tov, a discussion, no Avelis at all, no only Avelis Betzina, but there's no Avelis on Yom Tov. That's why if someone dies on Chol HaMoed, you do the burial, but the Avelis doesn't begin until after Yom Tov is over. If a person does some Nihugei Avelis 5 minutes before Yom Tov, so your Avelis is over, because you can't have Avelis and Simcha cannot coincide. So the question is, why it seems very problematic? Why would the rabbi set up Yizkor, which seems to be a form of public Avelis b'fahesia, on a Yom Tov? So I saw actually an interesting explanation of one of the Why You To Go booklet. I think it was Rabbi Lerner. I'm not sure, I think it was him. He points out that perhaps there are different lessons we could learn behind Yizkor that specifically show it is a time of Simcha, that Yizkor should specifically be said on Yom Tov. Why? So there are different aspects of Yizkor. And in fact, the commentators point out that really the main point of Yizkor is really to make a neder, or preferably to say bli neder, you still could give, even if you say bli neder, but you make a neder with tzedakah, because the whole point is to give tzedakah. That's what we read on the last day of Yom Tov. We read Ish Kamad Nashado, that person gives according to what they can. We read about the mitzvah of tzedakah. Because tzedakah, what's the ultimate joy, as the Rambam points out in a couple of places, but most famously in Hilchas Yom Tov, he points out, we know there's the idea of Simchas Kreso, is filling up your belly, meat and wine, or other Simchas, dresses, jewelry, or for kids, treats. But Simcha, someone who just fills up their belly, the Rambam calls it Simchas Kreso, and he's not saying it positively. The ultimate Simcha is like tzedakah has the power to transform. It's helping out the nini, the vulnerable, the yasam, the almana. Many times it says in the Torah to help the vulnerable. The samachta, you should be sameach with the yasam, almana, because the ultimate simcha is to help other people. So that's what you do by being neder tzedakah. When you give tzedakah to help out the needy, that's the ultimate simcha, as the Gemara tells us. More than what the rich person does for the ani does for the poor person. The ani gets a nice meal, maybe two or three. But the person who made the donation, that impact is eternal. It lasts forever. And as the Rambam points out in Hilchos Purim as well, that if you give the mitzvah of Shalach Manas and you have the mitzvah of Matanas Levyonim, but you have some extra money, better to give the extra money to Matanas Levyonim. Because, why? Because the ultimate simcha is helping out the needy. So therefore, one aspect of Yizkor, in fact, the main part, the whole excuse to say Yizkor was to neder for tzedakah, that's the ultimate simcha, giving tzedakah. So being the neder tzedakah on Yontiv is really the ultimate joy. And secondly, as psychologists and others have learned over the past 10, 15, 20 years, that things don't make us happy. I mean, it's nice to have things, and you need some basic necessities of life, and it definitely makes things more convenient, and I'm not saying we shouldn't have them. It might be good to have them, but they're not going to give us the ultimate simcha. You know, when you have 10 watches, 5 cars, 50 pair of shoes, whatever it may be, it might give you some joy, but the ultimate simcha isn't on the things we buy, it's on the experiences. That even like we just celebrated Pesach, so you go back, you think about the Seder you had with your parents, your grandparents, your father, you know, making the Kiddush, or everyone making the Kiddush in some cases, the Afikomen, hiding the Afikomen, looking for it, everyone does it a little different, Eliyahu coming and drinking the wine. And in fact, we began the Seder with Manish Tana, and we end the Seder with the nursery rhyme, Schad Gadya, to show the whole essence of Judaism, the whole essence of the holiday is to give over to the next generation. So of course, Yizkor means to remember the past, but ultimately, it's more about the memories of the past that brings us joy. Of course, if you lost a loved one recently, or maybe if you lost one many years ago, when someone you do Yizkor might bring up some sad memories and sorrow, but ultimately, there'll be many good memories. You remember all the great memories you had with your parents, grandparents, and loved ones, and therefore memories bring joy. So in addition to giving tzedakah, which brings joy, we have beautiful memories of our loved ones, parents, grandparents. And thirdly, as always in Judaism, we always have the power of contrast. And one has to realize, to fully appreciate life, you have to know what death is. You have to realize we're not going to live forever. And therefore, the concept of Yizkor is taking advantage of the opportunities of time. And obviously you realize you lost your parents, grandparents, or other loved ones, they're not going to live forever, and it's to take advantage of each moment. Like we have the minhag is on Erev Yom Kippur, we daven mincha first, and then we eat the suda, because we're afraid you might come to choke on some food and you're going to end up not having a chance to do tshuva. It's not the issue that we're so, it's not the issue in so much about being morbid, it's the issue, it's the idea of taking advantage of opportunity. When a person has all the time in the world, a person's on vacation, retired, or whatever, you might not take advantage of all the time. When you feel you have unlimited time, it's hard to take advantage of every moment. But when you realize life is temporary, so therefore, gives you an added incentive to take advantage and do simcha shel mitzvah, and therefore that's the ultimate simcha. The chai bahem below yamus bahem, and those are the concepts. So Yizkor maybe isn't a conflict. Yizkor shadavka be done on yantiv to make tzedakah. That's the ultimate act of simcha, helping out the yosem and almana. Living Yizkor, remembering all the beautiful experiences you had with your mother, father, etc. And ultimately to realize life isn't forever, and the ultimate goal is to take advantage of the time, give over the Mesorah, give over the Jewish traditions to your kids and your grandkids, and the fact that they're sitting there at the Seder is the ultimate Raya. And that's what the rabbis tell us, teach us, Tzadikim b'misasam nikra chayim. Righteous people, even after they pass on, are considered living. Because as long as the children, the grandkids, the students, the friends, they continue learning from your example. They've taken on all the good things, like the rock. The rock is permanent. Life might not be permanent, but as long as they continue learning and incorporating into your own life, giving it over to the next generation, so ultimately the ones you're saying yes to for are still ultimately living.